right, man. We made it, buddy.
We did it.
Wow. Tabarouette. Lawrence Corburn. Is it a good term?
Not even close.
Why?
Corber. C-O-R-B-E-R.
Corber.
Yeah, Corber.
It's because it's like I have a hot potato. It's because I'm French, you know. Colbert, not Colbert. Huh?
No. I don't know why you're adding letters. It's only six.
Exactly.
It's like corner.
Corner.
With a B. Corber.
Corber.
Hey!
Lawrence Corber.
There we go.
Welcome to No BS with SB, man.
Thank you for
so
having
happy me. To having you here. And yeah. Because, you know, you're amazing. And I want to show to the world to see everybody know that. You know what I mean? Because you're funny, man.
Thank you.
Know that?
I'm starting to believe it, yes.
Exactly. Yes. You're the first one who know that no matter the answer you're going to say, it will be not pretentious. You know what I mean? Because people are scared. Because and I understand when somebody said, "Ah, you're funny, you know that?" I said, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's not like that. It's not... Because in French, you will understand the way you understand. You're the first one, by the way. But in French, I have more vocabulary.
Yes.
In English,
it's
your mother like
tongue. Yeah, it makes sense.
In English, it's you're funny, yeah. It's I think, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But because how long you do comedy?
It's 5 years now.
5 years?
Yeah,
wow.
It was 5 years in November.
Okay.
Yeah, mid-November of 2014 was our first show.
And okay, so let's go there because me, I'm passionate about why you decide. You need so much attention, okay, to break your life.
Yeah, to break my life.
You know what I mean?
I mean, I've been a fan of comedy for like a long time. And in my 20s, I just kind of gave myself reasons why I shouldn't do it. Oh, you don't have the time. You need to work. You need to get a real job. You need to do this. You need to do that. So I never really... I've always loved comedy. I was always a fan of comedy. I always watched comedy. I consumed comedy. But I never saw myself doing it, even though... I wanted to. I just think it wasn't a possibility. It wasn't a reality. So I never really chased it. And then I was working and some guy signed me up for a comedy writing class, essentially. So it just kind of... He gave my information. He goes, "You owe me money." And I said, "For what?" And he goes, "I signed you up to this writing class. Joey Elias has this writing class at the Comedy Nest."
Shut up.
And
do you know how many great comedians Joey create?
Yeah,
by his formation.
I mean, I think he has.
You know what I mean? Because it's not because I did a lot of things, you know, like salsa, and I'm not good in salsa.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But him,
yeah.
It's like when you do his course,
yeah.
You have enough information mm-hmm. to maybe dream about this job. You know?
Yeah, I think also he's. For me, it was good in terms of a mentorship role about,
yeah.
You know, just, you know, a lot of intangible things and just the wealth of experience and trying to put you on the right path.
Yeah.
In terms of understanding what goes on and what, you know what I mean? What
the real reality.
Yeah.
Not the fame, the artificial,
yeah.
You know, everybody think it this is comedy,
yeah.
The real stuff. But let's go back because you said... You said, I always love comedy, always watch comedy. I never thought I would be on stage, okay?
Yeah.
So, when did you realize you could do it? Is it during the course of Joey Elias?
I would say it's probably the... Well, I'd gone on stage once.
Okay, before.
A couple of years before. And I didn't like the experience.
Of comedy?
Yeah, I was terrified.
Let's go there. Okay, let's go there.
It wasn't good.
Okay, let's go there. Okay, how old are you? Because you said...
31.
Okay, so it's 2 years before Joey Elias.
I was about 23 or 24 at that point.
Okay.
I tried it once.
Okay.
I didn't like it.
I try crack, didn't like it. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, if you're trying to say that comedy is like a drug, it is.
So it's rare, people.
Yeah.
You didn't like it because of the condition?
It wasn't the condition. It was a great night. It was at the Comedy Nest.
Okay.
I just didn't like what I did or how it went off. I didn't like the experience.
Okay,
and
so
I
let's
watched
go.
A video and I didn't like it.
Oh, yeah, yes. No, you still don't like to watch yourself in a way.
Because in my mind, it's so clear. And then I start talking and it's like, in my mind, it's like a well-written essay, and then it's like a baby speaking. Like, it's the disconnect was so far.
It's so real.
And I wasn't expecting that, because in my mind, it's so fucking clear. I'm like, oh, I'm going to go here, and then I'm going to do this, and this is going to hit. Yeah. I'm going to go over there, I'm going to gesture, and then bop, bop. And then I get up to, you guys, you know? And then, the next thing, oh, this part, check notes, like, it's a panic, you know what I mean? It's not, it doesn't come out the way.
No.
And that divide was so shocking to me, because I didn't expect that to happen.
Yeah.
So that's the thing that really threw me off for, like, a long time.
Okay, so let's go there.
Yeah.
So why are you there at the NES, at the an open mic? You decide to sign by yourself?
Yeah, I just signed up. I just sent an email one week, and I was just like, hey.
Okay, but you never went there before?
Never. Well, I've just seen a show a couple times.
Okay, you spy.
Yeah.
You take your repair, you know?
I had seen live comedy at there, and the comedy works, and just for laughs. Yeah. Like, I watched live comedy.
So it's not by coincidence?
No. Okay. I didn't, like, open the wrong door, like a sitcom, and they're like, you have 5 minutes. I'm like, oh, boy.
No,
like,
I thought it was a strip club, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you go there. So how was the night? How was your night? Before you sleep?
I slept fine.
Yeah.
The problem on the show is I went on in between Rodney Ramsey and Faisal Butt.
Okay, yes. Two superstars.
So I went on between two assassins.
But yeah. But you learn fast.
Yes.
But then you're still there.
I'm still here, yeah.
It's why we're going to finish the podcast and you're going to realize it was your best show ever.
I don't know if it was the best show ever.
Think about that.
Because I think it was an important show.
The best important show, it's my point. Not the killer. Nobody cares about if you kill at your first show. The ego, though.
Yeah.
Okay, the goal is not to kill at your first show, it's to broke the ice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you're there, you just told me two guys. It's an open mic, look. Yeah. Normally it's shitty comic.
No, it was not.
You have two great guys and they put you between.
I think those two were on, and I think David Pride closed.
Wow.
So it was like looking at these guys, I'm like, I cannot do this. I cannot fucking do this, guys.
I mean, you did not choke, huh?
No, you
stayed there.
I did my set, yeah.
So you went there. When did you start to realize your stress?
The second I stepped on stage.
Okay, so not when you say your name.
No.
When you know it's your turn.
That's fine.
Everything is great.
I'm walking up, I feel great, and then I get on stage.
But
and the host leaves the stage,
yeah.
And I realize there's no one here but me. I'm completely
alone.
Did you
thought at the time that you're gonna go on stage and gonna talk, or you prepare something?
I prepared.
Yeah. Remember, you said you watch your paper.
Yeah, because I don't. I would. The thing about comedy that's always been apparent to me, because I'm a big fan growing up of George Carlin. So George Carlin was the guy that made me care about comedy, and when you watch him, you understand there's a very big level of preparation
and a lot of struggle.
Yeah.
Because this guy, if you listen to him. The joke, it's not about a funny joke. It's about all the the punch. You have the premise, look.
Yeah.
The premise is the punch of him.
Yeah, and then it's because attached to everything, and it all every word.
You know
is
what I mean? Because it's so right that when he said the punch. You know what I mean? It's a killer joke.
Yeah.
Because you know what I mean? You know, it's not a joke about shit piss, look.
No.
It's about...
Even though he does have jokes about
yeah,
shit
yeah, exactly, exactly. No, I mean, when it, you know, it's the premise, it's long. And so where you go with that and pow.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful, but this guy, he struggled a lot. If you know, George Carlin, Carlin was... A clown when he start, you know, like everybody, you know, and he said, "Fuck off, I want to be who I am. I'm gonna pay the price to not go to any Tonight Show anymore because it was too much vulgar at the time."
Yeah.
And he changed his time, you know, changed his the way he was. It's not easy though, to be who you at the time, to be who you want to be. He was a denunciateur,
though. Yeah. He wanted to find a way to be himself on purpose, as opposed to being like what. You know,
you want
to
say real
together.
Shit with comedy. I would say that.
I mean, I think
the
it's
true.
Just,
you know, it was a.
I mean, I think like the self help term is like being your true self or like the fucking, you know what I mean, that kind of shit. But I think for me, I would just notice the words he used in the vocabulary, and I already knew there was preparation. So I was
the pause.
If this guy preps, I should prep. Like, you know what I mean? I shouldn't show up and be like, I'm gonna wing it. Like, And now 5 years into comedy, and you've been doing comedy even longer than me, how many times have you seen someone walk into an open mic and be like, I'm going to wing it? And you're like, fuck. Right? Like, it's and it never works out the way people think it is, because it's such a foreign experience. But I wanted to prepare a bit and just kind of like have a roadmap if I wanted to go here to there to there.
Yeah, yeah. And the sad part, you know what I mean, is no matter how you think you did well in an open mic, somebody in the crowd will say, he was not funny. And you will never... You never think about everything we did.
The show we did last week at Rosewood.
I told you. Yeah, it was.
Okay. So I was outside after the show. Some guy comes up to me. He goes, hey, do you have a cigarette? I'm like, okay, sure. Gave the guy a cigarette. I knew he was in the crowd. He was with a buddy. His buddy comes up to me. He's like, hey, man, really? You know what I mean? Whatever. And then the guy after me is like, you have a lighter. So I give him a lighter to light the cigarette I gave him.
Yeah, you have a promotion.
And then he gives me... the lighter back, he goes, yeah, I've seen better.
Wow.
Who's that for, though? Like, what's the point of that? Like,
after you give a cigarette?
And the lighter, I was like, he's like, yeah, I've seen better. I was like, cool, that's nice. And he goes, you want to know who my favorite comic is? I was like,
no.
Not really. Like,
don't lie. Did you say that to him?
Yeah, I'm like, not really.
Or you said, yes?
No. I was like, not really. Have a good night. Like, I just walked away. Because,
really?
Wow. Yeah, I thought about it for 3 days after. Like, I was not cool with it, obviously. I just dwelled on it over and over until I was like, I won that argument a bunch of times in the shower after, but like, I never didn't get into it on the spot. Because you don't win. You can't win.
No, man, you know what? This is the problem why we suffer in this job. It's for the what he said to you.
Yeah.
And more than that, 3 days in your head. Yeah. The guy's a loser.
I don't remember the people who enjoyed it. I remember this fucking guy. You know what I mean? This is the guy who's like stuck.
Yes.
The guys who enjoyed it, I'm like, I don't know what they look like. I have no idea. But this guy who was like, just like casually like, I don't give a fuck about your comedy. I was just like... that's the thing that kind of stuck.
But you, what did you learn now when you rethink about that, this situation?
I mean, I learned that I have to be different. I have to not take that into consideration in the future.
If it was...
Because I can't ask people to change how they are. No, man, you're still going to run into shitty people. Like, no, man.
Yeah, because you never asked, did you like me?
No, he said,
I saw better.
Which I would never in a million years be like, how'd you like my set? Like, I would never.
I know.
Like, walk around. What did you think?
No, you will understand why he said to you, I saw better. Because you asked a question.
But I didn't, though.
You give him a gift, my pleasure.
Yeah.
The light.
And the first thing he said, by the way. Fuck, cigarettes aren't cheap. Cigarettes aren't cheap now.
I know. And the first thing he said, hey, it's not better.
Hey. But that's because his friend was giving me a compliment, so I guess that he felt was an invitation to talk about it, which I didn't feel it was.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, okay.
I don't think it was an invitation. I think the guy was just a moron. I think, I'm pissed off about that? It's when you're able to say to somebody, and you don't take research of who you are, like you just did that tonight by coincidence.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't, because people don't realize that when you do an open mic, you deserve the spot. You earn the spot.
Yeah.
No matter if you think it's free and it's a shitty place, people think, oh, I can have this spot too. No, you don't. You don't deserve this place. This guy, okay, he insults you because he pretend in his head he will be better than you. Think about that.
That happens all. This is comedy is the only thing where someone has learned that I'm a comic and then immediately asked if I'm good at it. I've never seen that in any other thing before. I was I was working out, and someone I was working out with said, "Oh, you're a comic." No. And it was like a group class, so they told the instructor, like, "Oh, this guy's a comic."
Yeah.
And then they go, the instructor just turns back to this person and goes, is he any good? Like, he's not talking to me.
Wow.
He's talking to her.
See.
Either way, you can't ask me if I'm good, because either I'm going to sound like a prick or I'm going to sound like, I'm just like, I'm okay, I guess. Like, I'm in learning. I'm not there yet, but I want to be better. And I'm trying to chase guys who are better than me. It's like a long-winded answer to be like, you can't just be like, yeah, I'm fucking hilarious, but you can't be like,
exactly,
I'm terrible.
Exactly.
So then she's like, that's the only time. If you were met a ballerina, so you didn't be like, yo, How's your plies? Like, it never happens. Yeah, I'm a porn star. How do you lay that dick, though? Like, no one ever, no job, no hobby,
no.
Immediately ask people, oh, are they good?
How many times do you rewatch this scene in the shower?
Oh, I can't even keep
so,
track.
No, man, what was your favorite end?
Oh,
director's cut. Show me.
The director's cut of which one? The guy with the cigarette? The guy with the cigarette is me just like doinking him in the face with my cigarette. Wow. And just being like, I'm fucking lit. No, just like Clint Eastwood just like silently just be like.
Let me for real.
I don't know.
If you have to re-go there. And
I mean, for me, it's just like brushing it off. Be like,
you think you did the right decision at the time?
Yeah, because what am I going to do? I'm going to argue with him about if I'm funny or not.
No, man. Go back to him. What do you do in life? Who are you? Tu comprends?
I know,
but you control your ego well.
Yeah, if he's
maybe it was so fast you did not have the time to respond. Drink beer?
No.
So imagine if you drink three paints.
I'd probably be like, who the fuck are you, bro? What do you know about funny?
Exactly.
What do you know? You've been paid to be funny, you cocksucker? What am I going to do? Like,
you know how many people said, oh, you're a comedian? I don't know you. I said, who are you to know every comedian?
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
You know,
I don't know you. Who do you know? How many people do you know?
Yeah, how many shows you saw this year? It says zero. Okay.
No.
You said great restaurant. Why nobody know your restaurant? I said that to the guy. You know what I mean? I did a show, 1 hour, standing ovation. Okay. After the show, I squeezed in. A lady arrived, said, amazing.
Yeah.
She said, what is your day job? And I said, what? I don't have a day job, man. I just did my job.
This is my job.
I will be fucking good.
I'm at work right
to
now.
To have a day job and kill 1 hour, okay? You know what I mean? And because people don't understand comedy. To ask you a question or how to react in a comedy club. You know what I mean?
I agree with that, but I think it's because people don't understand. Like, you understand how actors get paid, you understand how musicians get paid, you understand how other professions get paid. Even for comedy, it's very unclear.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing about when people interact with comedians or anyone who's funny, people see themselves as funny. Everyone thinks they're funny.
Especially men.
Dudes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Dudes are always like, yeah, I can fucking...
Yeah.
I've seen people walk up to the Comedy Nest on a Saturday where it's like a headliner from like... Conan or like one of the big shows, a big American headliner coming in town, and they're like, hey, can I go on for a couple minutes? Like, they don't understand that there's a thing. Like, they think people just walk up there and do it, so they don't understand, you know, the work, the effort, the sacrifice, whatever it takes, right? So then, I think it's just seen as like just a thing that anyone can do, but it's
they don't understand until you go on stage, like you said, you know, when your first show. But you're right, why are you laughing?
No, because anytime anyone heckles or says something shitty, and they're almost, a lot of them follow it up with, oh, I was thinking about doing comedy or starting a podcast or doing this and that, and I always go, you should do it.
Yeah.
Jump on stage, try it out, see how it feels, experience the disconnect of what you thought in your mind and what comes out of your fucking mouth, and then you'll have an idea for it. And then we can have a conversation afterwards, right?
Yeah.
Because before, it's just like you're shooting in the dark and then you're having a weird conversation that you don't know how to answer to.
We don't have the respect, and rarely. You know what I mean? And we still fight for that. You know why? Because it's not because morons don't understand what we do. Mm. But at the same time, we put so much energy on that. Mm-hmm. Like you said in the shower, rethink about that situation, you know, or a bad show. You know, when I do a great show, look, I'm happy I did a great show, but I don't rethink about the great show.
Yeah.
But if I bomb, I'm going to rethink about that until I do another show.
Until you get a good show. And
you know, and Rosewood was a tough night.
Yes.
It's a tough place. It's not the best place to do comedy, by the way. No. The roof is high. Have another stage.
Yeah.
People, it's not clear why they are there.
People aren't pointed directly at you. They're pointed at angles, so they don't really, they're not really locked in. Yeah. People behind you on stage, yeah. Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
If I sit in the crowd.
Yeah.
And I watch a comedian, and they do a punch, and I saw the eight beside not laughing, I would not laugh. You know what I mean? You think about that. It's stupid. I know you sold out, but put the people, it's ridiculous to put people on stage. Yeah. Don't tell me. I love who promote this place.
Yeah.
It's not the point. The point is, come on.
I mean, I understand that. You know, for me, there's a lot going on. I don't love it. I don't like having people behind
no,
me while
me
I'm
too.
Performing.
Me
like,
too.
Because I have to, like, you know, it's already
not just
so
behind,
much to manage behind and right beside, too.
But they are behind, behind.
Yeah, they're behind
this table. When you're on stage, this table, you have two guys here.
Yeah.
Watching your girlfriend this way.
Yeah.
I record myself, the two guys, for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
They are behind.
Yeah.
And sometimes the guy did that. Oh, did this joke is funny.
Can you imagine them like playing on their phone or being disinterested or talking?
Yeah.
And then the crowd is now watching them do this. So it's not even someone in the crowd being disruptive. It's someone on stage being disruptive. So I understand. Yeah. It's kind of a very hard thing to manage. But for me, it's just another learning experience tool in the belt.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like
I was there. I it's not the first time.
For sure.
I did 15 times there. And but
like go do, like if you look at like Grumpy.
But I don't think it's
like the smaller shows. Yeah. Where all the shows where you're fighting against people.
Yeah.
It's just another tool in the belt. It is a frustrating experience, but afterwards, you know, it's something that you.
It's great what you said.
You gain XP points. It's like a video game. You're leveling up.
The
you
gym,
know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the point with that, this is a great metaphor, man. Because I love God of War, okay? Okay? Do you love God of War?
I played all of them.
Okay, so you know what you said, eh? You said you start with, naked,
yeah.
And you finish gold.
Yeah.
Okay, but we saw the gold.
Right.
Us?
Yeah.
No matter where you are, if you're not famous, you're nobody.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have, like, me and you, I know who your value, I know who you are in comedy, but the mass can see the silver, or your silver, you know
yeah,
what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
So it's always to justify who you are.
Yeah.
It's why I don't like when a host says, are you ready for the next time? You did 10 just for that. Okay, don't say that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a reference of anything. You know, nobody saw me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a title, you know.
Right.
I prefer you just say my name and see.
Right.
And I'm going to prove I'm funny, because no matter what you did in the past, nobody care. Are you funny now or not? You know what I mean?
That's fair. I think there's a certain aspect of it. It depends on, I don't know, if the crowd is not a comedy crowd, there's a certain weight to credit.
So
this person did the Winnipeg Comedy Festival and Just for Laughs and the Snowden Comedy Festival,
yeah.
And they have 18 specials. You're like, oh, this person is important.
Yeah.
Right?
No, yeah, okay. But you do corporate.
Yes, I do corporate.
Nobody cares.
No, for sure not.
Where are you from?
I mean, I care because
it's care.
Good for me and I get paid for it. So I was like, this is nice.
Yeah.
But it's, you know what I mean? It's, I don't know. For me, the host just has to make the crowd understand that the next person coming up is special and important and you should pay attention.
Yes, but my
ladies and gentlemen, my next act.
Wait. No. I never said the host should not say that.
Yeah.
I said the crowd don't have any reference about that.
That's fair.
They just have this ugly character, green character.
Victor.
Yes. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Who represent a big for us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's rare somebody's going to present somebody by title in the past.
Yeah, but I mean, if it's like close, you know what I mean? If it's like something you did like 20 years ago, maybe not, but if something that happened this year or the year before, like, makes sense.
No, because it, Just for Laugh, it's vague. You know, a lot of people, this guy did Just for Laugh. He did the outdoor show, Countdown. Okay, exactly. You know what I mean? But a TV show at Place des Arts.
I did do the outdoor show at Place des Arts.
I mean, you know what I mean?
Why are you shitting on my credits in front of this podcast?
Because I'm because
taking the Golden Hulk and I'm fucking off.
Why are you susceptible? Look, why you do you? Why you act like that when the guy insults you after a cigarette and you said nothing? Is the, you know?
Oh, I'm not gonna start fighting fans after.
It was not a fan, by the way. Eh?
He was
a hater. He was jealous
just
about you.
Knocking people. I'm gonna be throwing hands after comedy shows. You like my jokes, bro?
No, but he broke your heart. See, and you
break my heart.
You're honest to tell me that there, because this is the reason we are. You need to be fucking tough to do this job,
yeah.
And at the same time, you need to be fragile. It's weird.
You have to be self-aware, and then you have to be vulnerable, and then you have to not give a shit how people react to your vulnerability, which is just like,
I think it's called that bipolar.
Yeah. So I have to be self-aware to kind of take stock of my own emotions, and then I have to talk about them in a way that's relatable, and then if you don't like it, you're a fucking idiot. You're so wrong. You're fucking numb. How dare you? It's such a weird, but I understand it. Like, it's, and people, I don't think people feel they're being mean or malicious. I think people just feel like, oh, you were honest and you said a bunch of things, so I'm being honest. But it's not. Yeah.
You know, you should find where you work, okay? Mm-hmm. And when you know where you work, example, you work at Home Depot.
I show up there.
And you go see him and you said,
I've seen better guys work in plumbing. Exactly. I've seen better. You call that Couvre Plancher?
Pow, call back.
Yeah, bang.
Boom.
He's going to be like, who the fuck are you? And be like, exactly.
Exactly.
No one knows me, bro.
You have a cigarette? Bring me back my cigarette. Okay, about that. Okay, so George, no, because rancunier, always say rancunier. La rancune, like you forgot, you forget people,
yeah,
but you will always remember. You know the la rancune.
Dwelling. It's like
you. It's like I forgive you,
yeah,
but I will never forget.
That's fair.
Like this guy.
Yes.
This guy now, forever is a part of your life.
Probably. Because the thing is also when I go over it in the shower, I'm like, what parts of this situation are funny? How do I... Because if I get material out of it, it's worth it, right? Like, it's fine. If I get a joke or two out of
it. But we just did not.
True. True.
It's forever here. And you know what? A lot of comedians will remember that everybody lived that.
Yeah.
This kind of reaction. Like the guy insult you. Because the guy said, I saw better.
Yeah.
And I could be better. Oh, buddy. Oh. What did you order?
I got a tea.
Whoa.
Thank you.
Fancy boy.
What do you mean fancy? I don't drink coffee.
But it's caffeine.
So?
Okay, the
it's
taste.
It's the taste of coffee.
Look at that. Look at that.
Do you take
milk?
No. A diet coffee. Merci.
A cappuccino for Sylvester.
Wow, look at
and
that.
And a little cookie, a little biscotti.
Man, merci d'être. Thanks to be here,
thank
buddy.
You. Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me. People at Peroni are so fucking nice, eh? Unbelievable.
Man, I'm so grateful. Tony, the owner,
mm-hmm.
Life is it's. Do you believe that when you send something in the universe, you know, the law of attraction? Do you really?
Sure. Why
not? I want a Ferrari.
For the sake of this conversation, sure. Why not?
No, be honest.
I think if you put out certain energies in the universe, you're going to get things back, but you have to be active about it. You can't just be like,
exactly my point.
Yeah.
I want a Ferrari. No, my point is not like that, because a lot of attraction, people laugh a lot of that. I don't talk about the CD.
The secret,
exactly. Yeah. My point is, listen, when you fix a goal
mm-hmm.
and you focus on the goal, you're going to achieve it.
Yes.
Okay? My point is, when I start to do my podcast, when I start to, I would like to do a podcast. When I jump and I say, I'm going to do a podcast, I need to find the title.
First of all, I'm going to call a timeout. How is the title of this show not Hey Buddy?
How are you, Buddy?
Yeah, how is that not the title of this show? How is it?
Because nobody understands when I say Buddy. They think I say Baldy.
Yeah, but then you just put it in
the... No, I say B-A-W-D-Y.
Yeah, and then you start off...
Nobody says, what is Baldy?
And then you start off the show, Hey Baldy, it's Sebastian.
Yeah,
and then you're off to the races. And then you have Hey Baldy on t-shirts, you sell them after your show, you're printing money, your Ferrari comes.
So I think you should be my manager, Baldy. You want 20%?
To manage myself.
Yeah, exactly. But okay, so when you start to visualize something, when you open your mind about something...
I'm a big fan of visualization.
Okay, Bobby, it's my point.
A big fan, yeah.
So they said, I walk here, I meet Tony, and he said, how are you? We should just talk. I said, I'm doing two shows tonight, and I would like to do a podcast. And he said, well, you don't do a podcast here.
Mm.
Pow.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Timing, open mind.
Right.
Because everybody said, well, you don't do your podcast at home. I said, it's my home.
Yeah.
It's private. People are going to shit piss.
Yeah.
My dogs, you know, they're going to bark all the time, you know.
Yeah.
I want a neutral place.
Yeah.
But I want to...
I would definitely shit in your house.
Yeah, I know.
Even if I didn't have to, I would still go and try to take a shit.
No, you're so mean. It's not like, me. I love you, Baldy.
No, I love you too. But I feel like I have to establish dominance in someone else's house. I'm just going to take a shit.
You know what? I interview a lot of comedians. You're not the best. you know my point?
Not the best. Yeah.
You know my point is... everything... start to puzzle, you know?
Yeah.
And the guys, this guy's amazing.
He's very nice.
This the comedy night here is amazing.
Yeah.
You know? So, and but we start in the other room.
Mm-hmm.
And but the staff did not respect my podcast. They still bring people when they were not supposed.
So they're bringing people to sit as you're doing one of these.
Yes. You never saw you never saw JC Surette?
I'm
go see JC Surette. Okay, I shoot a lady, man. I shoot a lady because they were not supposed to be there, and because I don't do editing. It was already 1 hour. I was like so pissed off, man. I said, "Shh, please. Please."
Yeah, we're filming something.
And they were so pissed off, I shut them. It's a classic now. The 2 drink minimum laugh about that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they roast me.
That's so funny.
But my point is, everybody starts somewhere. You know, everybody, now it's more, it's still in a restaurant. You still heard the phone, some people look, yeah. But it's more in private.
Like, yeah.
I don't need to shut people.
No. We have a curtain that but, people know to respect the curtain.
Exactly, because, you know, the only reason why you're still in comedy is because you know. Because
I'm too dumb to quit.
No. Don't say that. It's so easy. No, you think?
Yeah, I'm like, I can't quit. People know I do comedy. Like, I can't back out now.
The ego.
Is that ego?
I think yes, it's the ego. But
I do love it. I do love it. I can't see myself not doing it.
No, me. Yeah? Really? Yeah. You're after 5 years of sufferance?
I can't leave. I can't back out.
Exactly. Yeah, I thought you said I thought to leave.
No. I said I can't see myself not. I can't see and myself just, backing yeah. out of
and
it.
And it's like, funny because you will never quit, but sometimes you want to quit often because of bad set, bad situation.
Oh, I have bad sets, and I'm like, I'm not funny. I'm not creative. I'm never gonna achieve the things I want to achieve. This is futile. Like it happens depending, like on a bad show, on a show where I'm just like, what am I doing?
Last time we did a bad show, I don't think it was our fault. The Savior's light was not there, you know what I mean? But I said, great job. You said, great job.
Yeah.
We know.
Yeah, because
we can do better.
When yeah, but great. What am I going to say? Hey, 6 on 10, bro. Like, what are you going to do?
But I'm going to take it. Yeah, I pass.
Because I understand that, like, you're working on stuff. It takes you know, a certain amount of effort and fortitude to go out there and do it.
Yeah.
And then
it's not the corporator.
And you've been through the paces long enough to know how you did. Because there's always those open micers who come off after 5 minutes, no laughing. I fucking destroy.
Yeah.
Sign me up for everything now. Opening a fan page on Facebook. Fuck yeah. And you're just like, Those are the people who are like, you're like, hey.
You saw one a month.
Yeah. And then
they don't exist.
Like all the guys on that show, when you know the show is rough or whatever, you just go, hey man, good job. Like it's just to be like, hey, you did the thing. You did your time. It's good. It's fine.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think you go over it. Or...
So are you able to take, when you do a big hits, are you able to deal with that, like when you bomb? Like, you know, the balance?
Yes, because the thing is, in both cases, eventually I had a point where I catch myself. Like, I had a really good show, and I felt I was really, all my material hit, and I was doing crowd work, and that worked, and I was riffing, and it worked. And, you know, I was very, very happy with how it turned out. And then I was riding the high, as you do when you have a good show, and you feel like fucking good. And then I'm like, this is the same feeling as when I bomb, just in the opposite.
Exactly.
You just got to take yourself back to reality and be like, what's the next thing? You still have to write, you still have to edit, you still have to create. You're still going to the call center tomorrow. Like, I'm not, you
exactly.
know.
Exactly. And when did you learn that? When did you learn that no matter how you're going to kill, it's a restart again and again?
I think very early on. I think like in the first couple of months of comedy. Like if I had good shows and bad shows back to back, and I started to identify the feelings of like, oh, I feel like shit, or I feel like $1 million and there's electricity coming out of my dick. I feel like I'm a fucking magic. But like, you can't get crazy extreme in either way.
No, exactly, because you're gonna die.
Yeah, you're gonna
die. Because, you know, the ego is the same, eh? When you bomb, when you kill.
Yeah.
The ego is the ego, though. So it's it's why you have to, when you kill, you have to take it.
Yeah.
Because it's rare.
But enjoy it though. Like, don't turn that part off and be like, I have to go. But enjoy it for like an hour or two.
Until midnight.
I like that. Until midnight.
After midnight one, you're nothing. Yeah.
If I get off stage at 11:30, I'm like, if people are like, hey, good, I'm like, I have 29 minutes to enjoy
this.
Let's go.
Give me love.
You have to really put this in.
I saw you in a shitty bar. Mic don't work. And I saw you said, oh, this guy, man. Wow. You arrive. Remember?
Oh,
William Pop.
Lord Williams. Yeah, yeah. The sound system didn't work, so I just went a cappella.
Man.
That was fun.
I said, I already respect you because I work often with you.
Thank
but
you.
I said, this guy, look, if you don't quit, man. No, listen to me. It's very important.
Yeah.
Because I know you don't care what I'm going to say, but if you don't quit, look, you're going to succeed.
Thank
because you have everything. You understand that no matter what kind of situation, your job is to kill.
Yeah.
No matter. No bullshit. No, oh, the mic was not good.
Yeah.
You shave. And by the way, you shave your beard at the time.
Yeah, it was November. I was at the mustache. I was
It was beautiful. Anyway, you arrived. Pow! You opened the door for us.
Yeah.
You know, I was the headliner, remember?
Yes. That show, actually, I had to run. I was at the... There was a show being run next door. And I was headlining that show.
Wow.
And there was 9 comics. It was a competition, right? So I was closing all the tally of votes, right? And you guys... It was supposed to be here in Peroni, but you guys were next door.
Yeah.
And then I just walked across because I had like 9 comics to wade through. And I was like, can I have a spot? They're like, you have 5 minutes. And the mic didn't work, so I'm just like, I'm just gonna go give it for 5 minutes and then fucking leave.
Thank you.
Oh man.
But are you a shy guy in life or a reserved guy? You have difficulty, or you just the way you are?
I would say I'm reserved in real life. People always read it as being standoffish or like Lawrence thinks he's superior. Or Lawrence is like a little bit legit.
Yeah.
I'm just very, you know what I mean? I'm like outgoing in like a fun way and stuff like that. But like if we're not super close, I might just be like kind of reserved in the way I interact with people.
Yeah,
I have a resting bitch face, which doesn't help.
The first time you saw me, you said, who is this guy?
No, you're very warm. You and I got along.
Yeah, I know, but this is my point. I'm the reverse of you. So maybe you said, he's fake.
No.
A lot of people thought I was fake. You know?
Well, I mean, for me, it was because the thing is you meet comics who have, they go on stage and they have a different accent, a different persona, things like that. And then when I first met you, I was like, my first thing is like, is this a bit? Right?
Yeah.
So not like, is this fake, but like, is he working a bit? And then I saw you on stage, and then after you got off on stage, you were the same guy. So I'm like, oh, it's not a bit.
No.
So I'm like, okay. And then anyone who's warm or have a big energy or things like that, I always get along with, right? So I knew, you know, those kind of personalities work well. But I think probably in my personal life, like when people who like I work with or whatever go like, oh, you're a comic, or you didn't strike me as like, yeah. Because, you know, it's not always me on stage with big energy.
No, exactly. Yeah.
So I think I might be more reserved in my personal life, especially now. I think when I was younger, I was a little bit more wild. But now that I have comedy as an outlet for my thoughts and my creativity, then probably I'm a little bit more subdued in my personal life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
90% of comic in life, are, in general, are shy.
Oh, yeah.
And they go on stage.
Yeah.
It's weird, eh?
Yeah. You're sitting in a sea of people, but the introvert is on the one on stage.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
and the guy you saw, the guy who said that I saw better, you know?
Yeah.
This kind of guy who they pretend are funny everywhere, anytime, they are the worst on stage.
I mean, I'm sure.
In general. You know, because me, I'm a shy guy too. I just fight all my life to not get bullying.
Yeah.
So you take what I saw, you saw me, because I'm always happy and all day. But I fight all my life to say, if I show I'm shy, I'm going to get intimidated, you know? So it was my protection, you know what I mean?
Like even, and also, and even in comedy, I think it's taken steps. Like, I used to run an open mic with another guy, and then people would go
It's funny you say that, because yesterday I interviewed a bank.
Who? Bank?
We banked the... RW
RPW?
Yeah.
Okay.
What is his first name?
Nick.
Nicola.
Bank.
Nicola Banks.
Banks is his middle name.
Yeah, Nicola Banks.
Yeah.
This guy, he tell me he did a show with, you have another, a show with, what is the other one?
Reese Turner and I used to have a show many years ago called Stand the Fuck Up.
Yes.
And Stand the Fuck Up, the idea of the show is it was a book show, so we would have a headliner and a couple acts, and then there would be 2 lottery spots.
Lottery spots.
So people would come in and we'd put their names in a jar and we'd pull the names. And if you brought someone who was a paying person on the show, we'd put your name in again. So it was, because people always talk about comedy being unfair and there's favoritism and this and that. We're like, we're going to have the fairest system where if you show up and you put your name in, whoop, you know what I mean? And people would go, and the point I was getting to with that show is people would be like, it's Reese's show. And they didn't tell it to me. I'm like, we're in it together. And I would never correct them. I was just too...
Shy.
I never brought it up. I was like, I host every week and I do the lineups with him and I run everything with him. And And people would just say, it's Reese's show, and I wouldn't correct them. I wouldn't have...
You put, don't put your foot there. No,
no.
Why?
I don't know. It just didn't feel like the moment to do it.
So it's why the show stopped?
No, the show stopped just because Reese has started a family, and it was just logistical things, and the bar is closed, and things like that. It wasn't anything...
So why did you start your own night?
I mean, for me, it was just a question of not having the time to start my own night. Like, for me, it's...
It's a lot of energy, eh?
A lot of energy.
For the result at the end, huh?
And God bless all the producers who do it.
Exactly.
We need it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, there's still wonderful rooms, you know, all across the city. But for me to do it now, I'm working full-time, and I'm trying to book myself in comedy, and I have my own relationship, and I'm trying... You know what I mean? I have so many things going on, I can't... commit to another thing because I know I won't have all my energy to put into it, so it's not worth doing if I'm not going to do it well, right?
No, exactly. So you talk like you find your balance in life with the comedy, you know?
I think so. I think when I first started out, I quit my job because I was fucking miserable at my job. I was working 80 hours a week and I was very upset all the time because I wasn't happy, I wasn't able to date, I wasn't able to do things. I wasn't enjoying the money I was making, so I was like, what the fuck is the point? And then I think now I'm in a point in my life where I'm finally finding a balance that makes sense. I mean, I'm working out and eating better than I have before. My relationship with my girlfriend is very, very strong and something I'm very thankful for. Comedy's going well, even though it obviously never progresses as fast as I want to, because I want to fucking learn everything right away and be a killer tomorrow. And then, you know, my day job is going well. So I think those things, it's the balance and it's a give and a take because I feel like, you know, you don't quit your job and dive right into comedy, then it slows how you progress in comedy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then you have less money because you quit your job and then it puts more strain on the relationship. And then, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It puts more strain on your body. So it's just this juggling act.
Exactly.
And I never know how to take it, but I'm thankful that everything is still in a good place where it's like, nothing's on fire, I'm okay.
It's tough to find always the satisfaction in this job.
Yeah.
Because you always compare yourself to somebody else when you should not do that.
Too late.
Because, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And focus on your 2020, did you make a resolution for comedy?
No.
Did you make some goal?
For comedy?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like I would like to do 200 show, 100 show. I would like to have a killer 15 minutes. I would like to start to medal in the comedy club. I would like to travel, you know?
I'm starting already to host in the comedy clubs, which I'm very happy about. I want to get to a bulletproof half an hour by the end of 2020.
Whoa.
That's what I want to do. And like when I say half an hour, like bulletproof, like very good half an hour that I could bring out in any circumstance and be well with. That's where I want to be. Personally, my resolutions are to try and be a better friend, which sounds super cheesy and dorky, and I'm sorry about it, but because I feel like...
Better friend for everybody?
Yeah, because I feel like, personally, I love spending time with my friends, and I always find that I don't contact people enough. I am so scatterbrained, and I'm always doing 800 things that people will be like, where are you? Come over and hang out. I'm like, oh yeah, for sure, man, and I'll have the best time, and then I'll be like, why haven't I messaged this person? Why haven't I strengthened this friendship? Why haven't I reached out? And I think it's just like on me being scatterbrained and all over the place. It's something I really want to work on this year. And just being better to my friends and people like that. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you think it's because of comedy?
I think comedy has made me more empathetic. And it's made me more self-aware to other people. Because when people start realizing, when you make jokes about things or you start to see people's perception and their reality about other things, it definitely changes the way you look at things. Like, people make jokes about like things that are horrible, like cancer and things like that, right? My dad went through that. So for me, I feel about it differently than someone who has never been affected by something, right? I used to make a joke about Parkinson's very early on doing comedy, and I did it because I had a friend who had Parkinson's, and they were upset that no one ever talked about Parkinson's on stage. So they felt that they were talking about other things and it wasn't relatable to them. So I don't know, I feel like it makes you care more about other people, it makes you care more about yourself, it makes you care about a lot of things. And for me, it's just trying to be better in that sense, even though that's like a vague, loose self-help bullshit term, but it's
no,
like...
No, because no, it's comedy, it's more than just... make joke.
Yeah.
It's to find who you are.
Yeah.
You try to find, you know, some people decide to be lazy in a shitty job 9 to 5 and the rest of her life too. If you do that, it's because you want to find something. You want to push yourself. You want to discover who you are. You're curious. This is a way,
yeah,
you know, to help yourself, you know, in our maladie mentale. You know, I always say that in English.
Your mental illness.
It's, yeah. No, it's very important because normally you quit in life.
Yeah.
Comedy, it's why it's complex when a guy, oh, I remember, I did the first open mic in Rosewood, okay? I bombed, you know, I did okay. You know, so I did
See, that's, when you're a comic for that long, I bombed and I did okay.
No, mate, I bombed,
yeah,
but I did okay.
Right. So the crowd didn't like it, but you know you did.
I know I did
based
well.
Based on what you know. No,
by my rhythm, the way I was on stage, mm-hmm, I was comfortable. You know, I did not choke, I did not sweat, I was happy.
You can sweat.
No, I mean, my point is, when you sweat, it's because you struggle.
Well, you can sweat because it's hot out, though.
It was hot too, yeah. But a guy, another open micer,
yeah,
arrived, and he said, yeah, it was not easy, yeah. I said, are you on the show? He said, yes. I said, good luck.
Yeah.
And he bombed solid.
For sure.
And he never talked to me again. I never saw him again.
But do you think
what I mean?
No, do you think he was trying to put you down, or do you think he's trying, yeah, to reassure you and didn't know
the outcome? No, he tried to put me down.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah, because he was next.
Ah.
If he killed.
What do you say? What do you say to a comic who doesn't do well?
I said, great job.
Yeah, you just give him a that's
yeah, it. Because the reality for me and you.
I can't imagine coming off stage and someone going, ugh. But, really?
He did that. He kept outside. That
I'd be so mad. Yeah,
because he doesn't know me. He's new. This guy is amazing in his head. Like the perception you said.
Yeah.
He bombed. Mais solid.
Yeah.
Solid, okay? And he get out. He never talked to anybody. I never saw him again. You know what I mean? He was nobody.
Yeah.
But the guy have a lot of guts to... because bombing for us... it's not bombing for the crowd or the people who start coming.
Yeah.
It's another world.
Yeah.
And bombing for me is just a way to tell me the joke is not funny. Rewrite, you know, or I did not assume it, you know.
But and also the opposite happens where someone will be like, hey, good set. And you're like,
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. I did not.
I didn't do the things
I wanted. Last show at the Rosewood was not fun. But I record myself because I have new bits. And I said, okay, this could be better, this, you know?
That was my fucking resolution last year. I recorded myself up until like April, and then I just stopped.
You should record, should record the show you did no mic, look. Wow. Yeah. You remember?
I remember it.
Wow.
But that, I should
have heard. Who was this guy?
That's me.
No. I saw another guy. Is it because no mic, so it's why you yell?
I mean, it's a short ceiling, and it's all stone.
Yeah.
So the sound dies, right? So you gotta...
But remember the energy you got? That.
Yeah, because the thing is, the guy who went on before me did not do well.
No.
So, and he's a very experienced comic. He's an experienced comic who has credits. He did not do well.
Yeah.
So I'm only at 5 minutes. You're headlining. You're high energy.
Yeah.
The host is not high energy.
No.
I'm only there for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I might as well just empty the tank.
Yeah, man, you should do that all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have the cardio.
Okay, let's go back, okay, with George Carlin, okay? George Carlin, you said, this is me. I would like to be like him. Not like the same style, but the way you work, the way you write, okay?
I think I imagined myself being a Carlin type when I started comedy.
Yeah.
But then as soon as I got on stage, I realized I was not that type of comedy. You know what I mean? And just like the meticulousness. And for the first couple of years of comedy, I would write something out and then perform it verbatim, never react to things in the room, never interact with people in the crowd, never interact with things other comics did. And then when I started doing those kind of things, which are not Carlin-esque at all, Carlin is very, I build a universe that has everything to do with everybody else, has nothing to do with me, here's this. And it's very, and then I started to enjoy my sets more, and I started to enjoy, I like crowd work, and I like doing things.
It's normal, because we need mentor when we start, until you realize that, oh, I need to find my own style.
Yeah.
And you have your own style.
I think so.
Yeah, five years. You start,
I think it's starting to develop in a way that's interesting.
The guy I saw, I said, Tabarnak, you have something. You know? But, okay, so, you remember your first show, you said, when I put my second foot,
yeah,
I realized, oh, I'm alone on stage.
There's no one else here.
So let's go there. Took the mic?
Yeah.
Or you stay the mic on the... you keep the mic on the stand?
I took the mic out of the stand. which probably was a mistake at the time. Rodney Ramsey had gone on before me, played the guitar.
Before or after?
He was before me. He played the guitar, which I've never seen him do since.
What? Never, I didn't know he played the guitar.
Me, he
you tried something?
I guess.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
This is like 2012. Yeah. And he did this.
Yeah, he started in 2012.
Yeah. And he fucking crushed. And then he left the chair on stage.
Crushed. I love crushed.
Crushed. And he left the chair on stage. So the first thing I did is I took the mic out and I was talking. And then I wanted to move the chair out of the way. So I said something about the chair, and it wasn't funny, and I thought it was going to be funny, and there was just no reaction, and then I was just like,
oh,
whoa.
Really?
Yeah, and I was just like, oh, this is not, I just thought, like, I'm just going to go up there and be myself and do my material, it's going to fucking work, and then, hey, big time. So he's just like, nope, just because you're funny walking around doesn't mean you're funny on stage.
Exactly.
That guy who's like, I've seen better, I bet you he goes to the office and quotes Family Guy, and people are just like, you're the fucking best, holy shit,
yeah.
No one's ever been funnier than you. And then when you have to create your own jokes, build context, make it relatable, but make it unique enough, and then he's like, fuck, I don't know what I'm doing. Like,
and do it again and again and again and again.
Do it again and
again.
And
when it's the killer, start a new one.
Yeah, and then even though you're like, don't compare yourself to anyone else, you're going to get slotted against other comics.
Yes.
This guy's headlining now. This guy's middling now.
What?
This guy's been doing it less than you.
Yeah.
And you feel like you're better than him, but he's going to get more spots than you. And there's just so much that you have to ignore.
Ugh,
you just have to throw it away.
Ugh, you're so right, man.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, I think I've gotten better at dealing with that part of it, too. Because that stuff
used
to...
Yeah, me too. Trust me, too.
That stuff used to be so devastating.
Tough. You know I know. Yeah. It's
you're not getting an audition, and this person's going on here. And it's so easy to get wrapped up in that and feel bad about that and let that be kind of the voice that guides your thoughts. And if that happens, you lose automatically. Immediately you lose.
So, but did you bomb? Like, did you forget your repair when you make the joke of the chair? Or what's happening?
I said I'm taking a stand against chairs or something lame, and it didn't work.
Okay.
And then I did... Some lame jokes. I got a couple laughs, but it didn't go the way I wanted.
No, man, I want to know how you feel.
I felt,
you had a spot in your face.
I felt.
How many people was in the crowd?
20, 30.
Yeah, so it's cold.
Yeah.
Because the Nest, when it's 20, it's cold because the setting is high.
Huge. And this is the old setup of the Nest.
Yeah, it was
that's
like
long
that.
And thin. Not the new setup, which is excellent.
Yeah, exactly.
But long and thin.
Yeah.
So you just hear sound die towards the
back.
And then the echo comes back to you of yourself and no laughter.
Yeah.
You're like, fuck! Like, so I felt kind of upset about it. And I was like, oh, you know, I've liked this. Maybe this is just something I appreciate, but I don't do. I like pro wrestling. I'm not a pro wrestler. You know what I mean?
No, but you can be a wrestler. You're not a pro wrestler. But you know... Because when you get out of the state, did you did too much time?
No,
did
I
you respect
fine,
the red light?
Yeah, I was fine on time. I was fine on
so
time.
How did you felt? Because you told me before, but you get out.
I get off stage, and that particular night, I got off stage, and I was like, meh, maybe it's not for me.
And you took a beer, or you go home right away?
I watched the end of the show.
Okay, and people come back, say a good job.
Yeah, my friends.
But not no comic.
Rodney Ramsey was nice. He gave me a pat on the shoulder and said, hey, good stuff.
Exactly.
And I think Faisal too, and if my memory serves, I don't know if anyone else. The host did. She's moved. She's not in Montreal anymore. I don't remember her name. She was very nice. I think everyone was nice. No one was shitty towards
me. Exactly.
I think it was more of the pressure I put on myself that was
Yeah. So you go home and you take all the George Carlin DVD in the garbage.
No, I stream because I'm not 85 years old.
Listen, it was 7 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
It was 2012. You don't stream.
Yeah. I have the internet.
You have cassette.
I don't have cassette. I stream cassette. Everything. I don't own any physical Carlin tapes.
So what did you do?
I just went home and I figured...
Take the dream in the garbage?
Not the dream in the garbage. Like, oh, I tried it.
Yeah.
I gave it a try, but, you know...
You realize you need to do more than that.
Well, I was like, this might not be the thing for me. Maybe it's just something I appreciate, but I'm not a part of.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So
which is fine.
2012 to 2014,
the end of 2014. I was working at a gym, 80 hours a week. I was very miserable. And one of the guys who worked at the gym with me goes, you should take this writing class for me. And I was very miserable.
Why you say that like that?
Because we talk about comedy and bond over comedy.
Okay.
It's not like he was like, you look funny, you should fucking... Like, you know what I mean? We discussed it. It was something we both... You know, you should watch this and you should watch that. And we were geeky about comedy together. And eventually he had signed us up, and I quit that job because I was fucking miserable and I wanted to leave every day, and I finally did. And we just went to the class, and the class
Oh, you went together.
Yeah, and there was a group of, I think, 12 or 14 people. It was very, very fun. It was just something where it was cool to have kind of the established idea of, like, I am writing. This is for comedy. This is what I'm trying to do. You know what I mean? So instead of all these distractions and it being an only part of my life, I could really just sit down and kind of focus on it for a long time. And if... found it really enjoyable, and I really, really enjoyed the process.
You feel at your place and in the course.
I'm like taking things from my everyday life.
I knew it. You know,
I was like, oh, maybe I was wrong about what happened a couple of years ago. Like, this is, I should give this a shot. And then they give you a big graduation show, which is kind of a magic trick, right? Because it's just people there for the graduate, and they're the most supportive crowd you're ever going to sit in front of, right? They love everything. They react to everything. Everyone's getting huge applause. Everyone's getting big reactions. Right? So I think that. You know, and then once you...
So let's go there.
Yeah.
So you, where are you in the lineup?
14th.
14? So you close?
No, I think... No, Wafik Nasrallah closed.
Wafik?
Nasrallah. No, Wafik Nasrallah did not close. I don't remember who closed off the top of my head.
It's fine. 14, no?
There was 14. 14, there ended up being 16 comics, I think I was 14. 14,
you know how many times you stress a C14?
Yeah, it was a long thing. Oh. There was a bunch of comics on before me. I went on after Susie King, who's now in Vancouver. Chris Vendito, I think, was hosting. Chris Vendito was hosting. We've now become good friends after years and years in comedy together. I went on later in the show for sure. I went on in the teens. And it went well.
Did you crush?
I didn't say I crushed. I would say I did well.
No, if you compare by the last...
Oh, yeah, night and day. Like, oh, yeah? Night and day.
Because the work is there.
Yeah, and
did
also,
you do the same joke with the chair?
I know, there's no joke. I'm just moving scales. I'm not doing anything.
So when you get out of the stage, though,
just lightning.
Did you realize that?
Yeah, there's lightning coursing through my body.
Yes,
everything,
because
like,
you did not give up. You fait confiance, you know?
Yeah.
Your self-confidence, yourself.
Yes, yes. You know? I'm like, oh, I should do that. And then I just book myself on every fucking open mic I can get my hands on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And now you're here. The best podcast ever, man. Look, let's say like that. It's our picture profile.
No BS with SB. Hey, buddy!
No, because you're amazing, and I'm. If you succeed,
yes.
Who's gonna be the champ?
Me. I mean, yeah, you get to say. I told you so.
Interview the first, you know, interview with you, buddy, because I believe in you, and I know you're funny, and I know the work ethic is more important than anything, because I saw a lot of funny comic, but with the network ethic, they don't exist anymore.
I don't think I'm the funniest guy.
Maybe you're not.
I don't, but I think I'm gonna outwork some people.
Exactly,
like, that's the thing.
Exactly,
I feel
it's
like
more important.
I think like I'm never gonna be the most creative guy. I'm never gonna be the cleanest writer.
You don't know because you're 5 years old.
True. I feel like the one thing that I have in my corner is just the consistency of always marking things down, always editing things, always reviewing things, even if they fail the first 3-4 times. Even though the more at-bats you get, the better your batting percentage gets, you become more confident. So for me, I don't think it's, you know, raw skill is a genetic lottery of like, this guy is naturally funnier, his brain works this way, but the hard work is just something I have a control over. So that's what I'm going to try and put my energy and my calories into to make sure that is what yields results for me, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So what do you enjoy the most? Is it the creation? Is it the 30 seconds before you go on stage? Or is it when you try a new joke on stage
and it works?
Kill?
And it worked, yeah. When a new,
you know,
joke,
what I mean?
When a new joke works.
No, I said that, I have goosebumps, man.
When a new joke works, you just get
you
off stage.
Feel the strongest.
You get off, you high five random people in the crowd.
Yeah.
Okay, and winking at ladies.
Yeah.
You're like, hey.
Huh?
It worked.
Yeah.
First draft.
Yeah.
It worked. Yeah.
How?
Bam.
And you do it again. This and you bomb. And you don't know why. So it's the same joke. What's
you
happened?
Just fill up the bathtub.
And you and always say, oh fuck. I say, you know, it's a magical comedy. It's magical.
Yeah.
It's why I think you have a autism inside us, because it's true. Because you have to repeat.
Yeah.
Visualize. Nobody's gonna do anything for you. You know, I see you, something broke inside us. Okay, I don't want to insult autism people when I say that. It's a metaphor. It's
yeah.
it's the tick they have.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
about repeating color. You know. Me, I love numbers.
I mean,
you know what? I can read a Beckett. You know the baseball Beckett?
Oh my God!
I can read like
a statue.
Why? You know what I mean? Look.
That's painful even to think about.
Oh, huh?
Just the statue on 4-7 double play.
Yeah. Like, oh my God. I don't know why. And my girlfriend said you should learn the bourse, the la bourse, the money,
the bank, stocks. Yeah.
I should learn stock. I would
Or you learn how to gamble, charts blackjack, and you're like playing the game or whatever.
Exactly. I have all of that. The small thing for nothing, but because when I close my eyes like that, and I have to think of my show. If I said in my head pancake, I saw all the my number.
Right.
I saw all my number. Mm-hmm. Every time I said my joke, I saw my story.
So interesting.
Do you saw your story? What do you saw when? Are you, because you know what I mean? Like if you have if you forget a joke on stage, nobody will know.
No.
So what is your trick to never forget your joke?
I think my trick is. I just kind of prepare with a mental set list of like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that. If I'm doing crowd work or if I get distracted or react to something in the show, I'm going to definitely address it. And then mentally, I'm going to go, okay, but what's next when you're done this? And then I'm going to kind of pace it out. So for me, if you write material that kind of goes into each other, then you'll remember it. I'm going to start off with my opening joke, and then that's going to lead into my habits. My habits lead into where my habits come from. What are the results of my habits? What are the side effects of from those results that have brought me to where I am now? What do I blame these on? And then where do I go from here?
So
then you kind of pop, and then it's hard to get derailed because you know the story.
And you never mix, switch, change?
I do. Like on the show you were talking about where I went a cappella and it went well, I was talking to a lady and she's like, I'm a nurse. So I have a bit of material where I talk about my dad going through chemotherapy and his interactions with the doctors and things like that. So that I usually, in a longer set, I'll put it towards the middle or end. Then they just opened with it because it was there. And then after I did that, I kind of brought in the beginning and then worked my way down the line and obviously took out where it should go and then just shortened the end. So I think it's just kind of like the mental gymnastics you play. I don't want to go on stage written things down anymore unless it's an open mic. If it's a book paid show, I'm not going to show up there and be like, do you guys mind if I tried this? Like,
No, you're right. I never do that too. Why do you find the motivation? Because we are always alone. It's rare we have a discussion like that in general in life.
Yeah.
Everybody is in his head in the corner before a show.
Yeah.
So how do you get, because are you a lone guy in life? Are you like to be alone in life?
I mix it up.
Because like you said, you have difficulty with your friend.
I mean,
I do
have friends. I know.
So why you find the motivation, to go in a shitty bar, no money, open mic, and be motivated? What do you saw,
I don't even kind of think about it. Exactly. To be honest, I just kind of go. Like, someone who goes to the gym because they just want to go to the gym? It's like that. I just go because I want to do it.
Exactly. When I said that, it was not me.
Yeah. No, because I think if...
Yeah, I love to go see open mic.
I think if I mean? If I think about...
I love to go there and see the real guy.
That's it. If I saw that I had a show and my instinct was, oh, why am I doing this? I think that would be horrible. Like, there's definitely been days where I don't want to have a show and then this will end up being amazing shows for some reason when you're not into it. The motivation was never really, this is the thing I want to do. And I have to keep doing it to get better at it. And I have to be patient with myself, even though it's infuriating. So you have to give yourself the time to improve. It's hard to kind of, and someone else is going to learn and improve at a different level or a different pace than you.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? One of the best things that Joey Elias ever told me was he was talking about when he started comedy and 3 years in, he couldn't catch David Acker. David Acker was too good and he just couldn't follow it. And you know what I mean? And he talks about it and he said eventually you even out or you grow at a certain rate or whatever the case is and then you grow into your own performer so it doesn't matter what someone else does, right? So I guess for me it's just a question of being patient and figuring out what kind of performer I'm going to be and where I end up. So for me the motivation isn't, it's not like I have to re-motivate myself every day.
No, I know, but let's talk about when you just fell outside.
Yeah.
this is a motivation.
Yep.
So
it's nice.
So when you get the call,
you
get pumped. Look.
Yeah.
And when you did the outdoor, you get motivated.
I did.
For now, look, for next summer.
Yeah.
So not this is not another personal challenge, like you said. You know what? Sometimes you don't want to go to do an open mic, but because now you touch another thing.
Yeah.
You touch the gold. You know what I mean? Did you enjoy, by the way, the outdoor?
Loved it.
Yeah.
It was very cool because first of all, outdoor shows are always so tricky, just because there's so much. Space, just the sound disappears.
Don't wait about the laugh.
you can't wait for the laugh. So this is the thing that was weird is, first of all, you feel like a big fucking deal. Because there's lights and there's a giant, you're outdoors and the Plazdes are and there's
big beautiful
background and they have smoke machines and they're playing fucking rock music and you're walking out and there's, you feel like a pro wrestler. There's lights behind you and you're like,
I saw now when you say all that.
Yeah.
I saw you crying the day after with a rest of Putin.
It's over.
The eye is so high, you know. He said, you know, it's the drop after.
But for me, it wasn't. It wasn't. No? That, it wasn't that. I'm like, oh my god, it's over. It was just like, for me, it was just like, what's the
mommy?
Next mommy,
it's over.
Mommy, it's over. It was just like, what's the next thing? What's the next thing are we doing? It was never.
Did you talk to agent? Will call you. Be honest.
No.
Okay.
It's not, if it was like the 90s and they were shopping a sitcom, but, you know, like Lawrence is shot in front of a live studio audience. It's like me like, oh boy, these crazy neighbors.
Yes.
But I don't think like agent, like just the fact that the English booking team from Just for Laughs was there.
Yeah.
And they swung by and they're like, great job everybody. That was enough. Wow. That was just like, I was just happy.
This is your best credit ever?
Just for Laughs, yeah. I would say the off Just for Laughs and Fest, yes. I would say so.
Do you have your pass with your name?
Yep.
Eh?
ZooFest, yeah.
Eh?
Yeah, it was very nice.
Is it fun, eh?
It's cool. It's a cool feeling.
Oh, no, come on, don't.
It's a cool feeling. It's
fucking
a cool
fun, man.
When your face
I talk to the kids inside your body?
When your face is
like
on.
Wayne's World. Wayne's World. Yeah. We are in shit. When with your VIP pass, man.
When your face is on the Just for Laughs website.
Voila.
You know what I mean?
Okay, so it was not the past. It was the face.
It was the face on the website, like hahaha.com, and then you scroll through, and it's like my face.
Honey, can you come here?
Like,
look at that,
like
honey.
That's a cool.
And because she loves you.
Yes.
But
fuck, I hope so. Jesus Christ.
No, I mean, you know what I mean. They are more like your funny project.
But when she saw
your face,
she was
in the Just for Laughs website.
She first saw me at a comedy show.
Her first date was in a comedy show.
No, not her first date. I was doing a comedy show at Comic-Con, Montreal Comic-Con, and she was in the crowd, and then we had mutual friends, and we added each other on social media, and then that's just how we met, but she was a comedy fan before she met me, so the fact that, like, I got to experience kind of these small successes on the way to where I am now, and the fact that she was around for it was made it really nice, too, and she's supportive, and she understands what goes into it in the work, and, you know, she's so good. She always takes a picture of the comics and like posts them on Instagram, and the comics repost it. And she gets along with all the comics, probably fucking better than I do. But
you don't promote enough.
I don't promote enough. No, I don't. I don't know why. I just there's something.
It's not easy.
Something inherently dirty about like.
It's not easy. It's like it goes on a trick. Like look at me. But at the same time.
And then people are always like, tell me when you're performing. And I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, man. Everybody say, I will not tell you. It's a shit open mic. I don't want to invite you. See, keep your money for my one-man show.
And no. And they're going to show up to the shitty open mic. They're going to miss your one match. I have so many people. I'm like, Club Soda, missed. Outdoor show for Off JFL, missed. Charity show where we raise six figures, missed.
McLean, they're...
Shitty open mic on a Wednesday? They're It's like you...
Oh yeah, I know. Everybody, yeah. So 30 minutes, it's your goal.
Yeah.
Be a better host, or host often.
I want to host more often because I feel like it stretches the muscles I don't use that much. So the crowd work, the riffing.
Yeah. Do you work often in Ottawa?
Not as much as I like. I have in the past. I would like to do it more for sure.
And
they're a great group, by the way. The guys at Absolute Ottawa, they're absolute studs. I love those guys.
So if you don't do an outdoor or something at ZooFest next summer, is it something you're going to be disappointed because you did last year?
I mean, I've done ZooFest shows the last 2 years with Healthy Living and Comedy, and the format we've been doing, I feel like has been working, and I think if we take more time for ourselves and then try and expand our skill sets, I think it could really yield some good results. So if I didn't get it, I would be disappointed, honestly. But it doesn't mean it's the end of the world. It doesn't mean there aren't avenues for me to be successful in. You know what I mean? Festival season is always frustrating.
Yeah.
Because it always heightens the keeping up with the Joneses feeling and what other people are doing. And this guy's friends with that guy, so we booked him on a show. No one asked me to be on this. And So it definitely heightens the senses around that time of year.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you would just have to be better at dealing with it every year, right?
Yeah.
So that's just what I'm going to try and focus on. And if I get something wonderful, I'm going to give it my all. If I don't get something, cool. How do I be so fucking good next year that there's no way you ignore me? How do I be so fucking good that you can't deny me a spot because I'm killing everywhere? And then if you don't have me on, it's going to be on you. How do I be that fucking good? And then that's the game plan if I don't get a spot.
So it's to work every night.
Work as much as possible. Work smart, because sometimes it's not work every night. Sometimes it's writing. Sometimes it's editing. Sometimes it's reviewing tapes on yourself, right? Just because, and it works for some people, need to go on a mic every night. You know, some people need to go on a mic and then go away and then work on it and then go back in the next week and things like that. So finding my rhythm and what I want to achieve.
But you know that just for laugh, don't make pass on, they don't make pass to people because you're kind. The only reason why you did the outdoor is because you're funny.
Thank you.
No, but you know that. Don't take me.
It's a compliment, so I'm thanking you.
Yeah, but no, the answer is you realize that because if I said you're funny, it's my opinion, you take what you want to take, but if Just for Laugh give you an outdoor last summer, it's because they said, you know what, don't give up, we like what you do, and we're going to prove you. They don't do that because they are your kind.
I agree. And I think this
is very important.
You're right. And I think also what I like to see about it is the fact that there was a lot of Montrealers who got these outdoor shows with the Zoo Fest, and they had the opportunity to kind of spread their wings. And for me, it was the opportunity to kind of book someone who's never been on Zoo Fest before. And, you know, I feel like it was just a good experience, and we were able to kind of help each other out. And all the Montreal shows were on different nights, so we could all support each other. It wasn't all stacked up on one night like it was 2 years ago. So it was a nice feeling, and I would of course be happy to be back. And no, I understand there's some merit in me getting that show, and it's something that I have to build on, because once it's done, it's done. You have to go into the next thing. You can't just sit there and go like fucking great
and surf on that, you know. My god, how long did you surf about the outdoor show?
2 days.
Just 2 days? After 2 days, you said it's done?
Yeah. 2 days. 2 days because you, like, relook at the pictures, and you post everything on social media, and you have the profile picture of the outdoor stage, and you feel...
How long did you keep the outdoor stage?
It's still my banner picture behind my Facebook picture.
Oh, I'm going to go watch that.
You should. I love the picture. It's a, you know, thankfully I have some friends that are good at photography, Reese Turner, my girlfriend Evelyn, took some excellent shots, and... So I really enjoyed it for about 2 days, and you know, afterwards we went to the Hyatt and you eat the smoked meat and you walk around, you feel like a big deal. You bump into Nick Kroll and you're like, what's up? Like,
yeah. You know, like, and after you feel shit.
I mean,
never feel shit? Like because you stay too long in the day. I don't think I deserve to be here.
No. I manage it. For me, I'm very good at parties. I'll leave really early and not feel like I overstayed my welcome. Just like, you know what I mean? I'll have one drink, I'll have a little
food,
sit around, success. Enjoy it, hug everybody, cheers, and then I'm like, I'm gonna go home.
Yeah.
And you know, not stay there until 4 a.m. until it gets weird and sad.
Yeah.
So that's just where I felt good about it, and then I realized I couldn't get too excited about it because there's still a lot of work to be done.
Yeah.
You know, if I sell out an arena one day, then I'll sit down and I'll take a week and smoke a cigar. And then
is it something you really want to achieve? No.
I don't think it's possible. For me, anyway.
Really?
I don't, yeah.
Okay, let's keep that because... When you're gonna succeed, we're gonna rewatch.
You're gonna play this this clip on the Jumbotron. Yeah, I don't think I could sell it.
Because you know the worst enemy in your life, you know, in comedy, it's yourself, you know.
100%.
But you still say that, like you smoke cigarette.
Yeah.
Outside, okay, sold out. You kill. You go outside. I made it. A guy arrived. Said, "Hey, can you have a cigarette?" Yes. I saw better.
And then I snap my fingers, and the Zamboni from the Bell Center just rolls him over. Yeah. Fireworks go off.
No matter how big you're gonna be, somebody's gonna say,
it doesn't matter.
I saw better, man.
I saw better.
But you know what? Today, I did not saw better. You're the best. And I love you, man.
Love you too, man.
And I want to finish with this. You think the Expo are back?
No.
No?
No.
Really? You like baseball? You like the Expo?
I don't like baseball. I like the Expos. I don't like baseball.
You don't like baseball? But do you think it would be fun for Montreal?
I think it would be fun if they do a split season and they come back and they play some... Because I think live sports are fun and they're good for Montreal.
Yeah.
I don't particularly love baseball, but I like live games. I'll sit there.
It's good for the it's good for Montreal, for sure. For the tourists.
Yeah.
You think the Montreal Canadiens is gonna make the playoff?
No.
Do you watch hockey?
I do.
Do you think it's boring?
I don't think hockey's boring. I love hockey. I feel like the Habs had a bad season. They're having a weird season based on injuries, and they're missing some pieces. Price isn't having a strong enough year to cover the injuries, so I think that's putting stress on him. And I think it's just a year where they have to kind of reset the pieces on the board, and then they can make the playoffs in a year or two.
The junior was amazing.
Love it. It's one of my favorite things to watch every year.
I love watching the junior. Lafreniere was amazing.
Yeah.
But it's fun you say that, because you react like everything is great with Montreal. The only problem is because of the injury. And I don't. So you're a fan?
There's defensive problems. There's special teams problems.
No,
there's a lot of problems.
This is okay. So let's go there. So you said no, they will not make the playoff.
They're not
going to
make the playoff.
Okay, but if they made the playoff, they would never win a Stanley Cup. Injury or not.
Yeah, and also if you think about if they were in another division, it might be possible. But the
which one division?
I mean, if you look at one of the divisions, like the division the Habs are in now, you have to. Boston, Tampa, Buffalo.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Toronto's been red hot since they got their new coach. Like, it's not easy. So I think the Habs, this is a year where...
So this is your favorite sport you like to watch?
Hockey, yeah.
Nothing else?
I'll watch a little football and I'll watch a little... Yeah, football. I don't watch basketball at all. I don't watch baseball at all.
Okay.
But football, I'll watch every so often. My buddies are bigger into football than I am. But I'll watch a game on Sunday, have a beer, whatever.
But wrestling?
Pro wrestling, number one.
Okay, so the wrestling?
I love wrestling.
Wrestling?
Yeah.
Hockey?
Yeah, I watch more wrestling than hockey, for sure.
Yeah.
It's
so WrestleMania, it's something for you, like you don't miss every... it's going to be April 5th?
Yeah, something like that.
You will not miss that?
No, I'll watch
it. I love WrestleMania.
I love it.
I'm a huge fan. I don't watch Raw and SmackDown.
No,
I don't have time for that. Look.
I stopped watching Raw and SmackDown because the wrestling in North America got really weird and really bad, and it's all about like you're fucking my wife, and it's just like what the fuck are we doing?
Like AEW?
I do. I enjoy AEW
because now they don't have the monopoly anymore. They have to
Do something different. So I'm enjoying AEW. There's also a wrestling company in Japan I follow called New Japan Pro Wrestling that I really really like. It's where all the AEW guys wrestled before AEW.
Okay.
So I follow those two pretty much, and I'm enjoying it.
So, thank you so much, buddy.
Thank you, buddy.
I hope you're coming back in maybe 3, 4, 5 years and see, laugh about, you know, because we change, huh?
Yeah.
The way we think now is going to change tomorrow and in 2 years. And comedy, they're very different all the time.
Yeah.
The way you feel, the way you are, the way you think you should be, the thing, you know what I mean? But I saw you confident, in peace with comedy, and it's great.
Thank you.
Because it's rare.
Yes.
And you don't take drugs.
No.
Let's smoke a cigarette and salt you outside.
Hey!